This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek.
A very fine evening to you, one and all. Dean Beck here on Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Sitting opposite me is the extraordinary Andrew the Apprentice.
Thank you, Dean. Good evening. Big thank you to the Right Here, Right Now boys.
So good to see you. It's been how long?
I don't know.
5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Yeah. Great show coming up. We've got some interesting news stories, Andrew.
Yes, there's a few big breaking stories.
Shit's hitting the fan.
I was thinking about this during the week, that Pride March, as opposed to Midsummer Carnival, Pride March tends to be the venue by which the government of the day or the opposition make their announcements, as opposed to the carnival.
Well, this year that is very much the case.
It has been over years before as well. With regards to overturning convictions, was all done at Pride March.
No, that was done at... wasn't that announced?
No. I can remember because Clem came and stood on the back of the Joy thing.
Well, yes, there was, but they made that announcement about three times because they had the Premier get up, of course, with Noel Tovey at Carnival Day.
Yes.
I do recall that.
Yeah, but no.
However, this year, everyone was still on holidays during Carnival.
True. That's So Pride March. Yeah.
The only person working was our commissioner, and she hasn't stopped since the day she started.
Yep.
And the ministers and the premier were nowhere to be seen. However,
they were all Pride there. March, at Pride March.
Yeah, couldn't beat them off with a stick. Yeah, they were everywhere.
You and I got to do Pride March this year.
We did.
It was a very good honour from Joy to be able to do that. We did it separately, thankfully.
Yes, I think they worked that out very early on. And even Bill Shorten poked his head in.
Yes.
I tell you what, the coup of the entire event.
The photo.
No. The Liberal Party getting moved from position 177 on the promise that the Prime Minister would turn up to position whatever it was, 8.
Four or five, yeah.
Look, 10 out of 10 for that one.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
All you have to do is say the PM's coming and you can move mountains. Amazing.
The other thing, of course, at Pride March, we missed because we were commentating.
Oh, all the action.
All the action. But then we didn't think about why is there no action for a little while.
Well, I thought this logistics this year is pretty terrible.
Terrible.
I've never seen a gap like this in 21 years of Pride March.
Talk about
what's going on?
Talk about filling time.
Oh, we rambled and went on and I talked about how we used to go around the other way and not that way and what I was wearing.
We totally missed.
Then all of a sudden it was on.
Joy, of course, was broadcasting down the Prince of Wales. Little did we know.
Which means from our line of sight of the broadcasting position,
nothing.
Behind a concrete pole.
We couldn't see a thing.
You'd see about 10 metres up the road and that was it.
Yes. We of course, missed the protest that blocked the
parade. Was there a protest?
There was a protest. Have you not seen, if you not read the news, Jadeen?
Oh, I heard there was a bit of some water thrown around or something.
Something like, no. Massive protest, sit-in.
Sit-in on the road?
Yes.
Oh, we're up the wrong end. We used to be up that end.
We used to be.
Which would have had us perfectly suited.
Oh, well.
And then we decided we'd get on a high horse and go up in a balcony and couldn't say a bloody thing.
Rather than on the back of a ute like we used to.
Yeah, that was pretty crap. get sunburnt, windburnt, yep. Rained on.
So, yes.
But you were in amongst it.
We were. Yeah. On tonight's show.
There was less dykes on bikes this year. What's that about?
Were there?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Rightio. On the show tonight.
Let's stick to it.
Yes.
On the show tonight, we have got Queenie Bonbon in the studio tonight.
No idea what that's about.
Queenie is, she's got a variety of titles, but she's a professional stripper.
Oh, cool.
She's a pleasure provider.
Oh, we're all that.
And a fantasy maker. And she talks about her life in a show of Midsummer called Power Up, which is happening at Hares and Hyenas.
Which was a huge hit last year, I believe.
Last year at the Fringe Festival last year, in September last year. It is returning for Midsummer. So we have got Queenie Bonbon in the studio very shortly to let us know all about Power Up.
Pleasure Maker Extraordinaire.
That is her title.
Fireball.
Right across Melbourne on Joy 94.9, podcast at joy.org.au. This is Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice are with you. And our special guest today, star of Fringe Festival returns with Power Up, Queenie Bonbon. Welcome to Hide and Seek.
Oh, hello.
I tell you what, we don't have women in our little Hide and Seek studio that often. It is a delight to have you. It's very refreshing for us. I tell you.
It's a joy.
Thank you very much. take me through this. Is it a what is it you do? Is it it's
what do I do?
What do you do? Well, actually we should say what don't you do, maybe.
Very little. My show, so this is the second show that I've done, and it's sort of a comedy, sort of a lecture, storytelling, just about my life as a hoe. And just like,
are we comfortable using that term? We've been indoctrinated into the sex worker lingo.
I mean, yes.
You as one can, and me as not one can't.
That is
got it.
That is the way.
Cool.
Yeah.
No problem. But I'm a dirty, filthy poofter.
Yeah. So right. I can call myself a Mr. Co, and you in turn will say.
Okay. So that's sex how it works.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Got
it. So how did you come from being a sex worker to someone on stage talking about their life?
Telling the world about it.
I just, a few years ago, started just writing, like, documenting things that happened.
Just writing
just
journal.
Journaling. Just, like, having, just to keep diaries. And, yes, was like, this is, my office is a very wild and mystical place. And I would read the story sometimes to some pals, and then I was like, maybe I've actually got a lot. This is a lot of stuff. Like, I've been a hoe for a long time. I have a lot of material, and I was
like, there's some weird and wonderful stuff in there.
There is some really weird and wonderful stuff.
Obviously, you meet a diversity of characters and people as you go through life, particularly in your role.
Yeah, and I feel like I meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
And share very intimate space with them and share lots of these connections that you just don't have with most people.
Have you ever worried that the guy that, you know, insisted to be wearing a nappy and you pissing on him, that he would be in the front row of your show?
No.
Have you ever invited him to be in the front row of your show?
No.
Just a thought.
But, if he was, that would be nice. I think it was. The stories actually are mostly about me and a little bit less. There's not that much detail about clients. It's a lot of about like how I see interactions. It's a lot about how I interact with my co-hosts. There's a lot about just like the general stigma of being a worker, online dating, how people deal with that.
You mean personal?
Yeah.
Yep. And you mean getting a root for a root's sake and not for...
Yeah, and how people see you as a sex worker when you're...
How did you get to a space where you're cool with it? And did you go through a space where you were, like, not cool with it? Like, you know, challenging yourself in that...
Yeah, headspace. I think I was living like a real like bubble community where like I have a very amazing hoe queer community that I'm surrounded by, and then there are these other moments when I'm out and I'm like, oh god, that's what people think about
work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sort of like reality show.
Yeah, but most of the, so I think I've always been really like very pro ho, but then I have these moments where I'm like, oh, that's so weird that other people are not in this magical, beautiful queer bubble land.
Is it a case that sex with your peers go, you know,
friends?
You mentioned, you know, a great queer community, a sex worker community. Is it a case that you do, you know, go to, as a group to a cafe and catch up and chat and talk about stories, because I was thinking potentially that's why you'd look at writing a journal, because you may not have the outlet of getting those stories out.
No, I think I was all, I've just been a documenter.
Right.
So that's just been like just part of like my general.
That's how you've always been. But do you also have those opportunities to catch up face to face with your peers?
I really do. But also, I work in a brothel, and that's I have a lot of, you know, it's a lot of gossip time.
Downtime. Yes.
Yeah.
I saw somewhere, and I don't know where I saw this, but something like 60% of female sex workers identify as queer. Would that sound about right to you?
I couldn't say.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds nice, though. Yeah.
and I think
sounds reasonable.
It's also, I mean, Dean, remember, of course, we had the Vixen Hour here on Joy a few years ago with Christian. And I recall back at the time he was also talking about, you know, many members of the sex worker community identify as queer, not necessarily about their sexual behaviours, but around their sense of identity.
And I wondered whether, along those lines, whether that was about work and play, or work and emotion, or work and life, you know, having your expression in different realms so that they can be compartmentalised like that. Am I overcomplicating the issue?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, I had a queer community before existed as a sex worker, and that community it's a wider, now I have, you know, a broader like sex worker community, but I'm still equally as connected to my queer community, and I never feel that like that one identity like assists the other, like that I can separate the two, like I guess like in the same way, it's just my job.
Yeah.
An article written in Archer magazine about you describes you as a sex worker comedian. I'm not quite sure that when I'm going in for a little bit of a, you know, la-di-da, that laughing is the first thing on my agenda. But
you think that. And also, it's just one of my free extras.
Right, okay, got it.
They don't always want it.
But they get it.
They really get it.
Right.
They just get a nice time. It's not always the exact, you know, I don't have another work person. Like, I'm very just me at work, and sometimes that means I have no interest to talk to my client, and sometimes I'm absolutely desperate to tell them a nice joke.
But I'm sure it's not like, though, that come in, sit down now. Let's do a I'm going to give a 5-minute skit around something, though, is it? It'd be just a natural part of who
Although,
you are.
Although, when you're on the per minute, that's quite a good trick, Andrew.
I actually had one person who I met. I didn't remember this, but I obviously met them while I was stripping in a club in Adelaide, and then they came into the brothel and they were like, "Oh, it's Queenie Bonfer."
Oh my god, it's you!
And I was like, "Hi," and I was like, "Well, let's go upstairs and have a lol." And he was like, "That sounds so unsexy." And I was like, "Okay,
let's try a different angle."
See you later.
Tell us about the stripper world, because that's a unique space, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's nice. It's on the stage. It's lovely. You get to be a little show pony. It's different. I'd say all my promo material does say that I'm a professional stripper.
You're not very good at it?
No. I am. No, I was a professional stripper. I just haven't. That was more in my younger.
But it would take a bit of practice, though, wouldn't it?
No. I've been non-professionally just taking my clothes off for so long.
Does that qualify? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Are we talking it was venue work, or pub work, footy clubs? What are we talking here?
So I, in venues, yeah. Okay. Guess what? You know, the beautiful King Street. That was my home for a long time.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit more about the community and how it works. And
Hang on, just before we go there.
Yeah. Hang on.
I've got a thing with strippers.
Right.
Okay,
right?
What's your thing with strippers?
My thing with strippers is I don't fucking get straight men staring, not being able to touch, throwing money at gorgeous women and getting off on frustration. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's like a weird MTV fantasy.
Touch me, don't touch me.
Without the sort of zhuzh.
Yeah, what is that?
It's like people get to live in like these videos that they like these fantasy videos, and like it's really, yeah, it's like they kind of like buy these like little moments.
But I've escorted some of the porn stars that I was touring to these venues to put them on the stage, and I've watched as men literally zombify and go into a trance. It's quite extraordinary to watch.
It's mystical.
It is.
Yeah.
And I don't get it.
You love it and you're like, it's just witchcraft. Like,
it is. It's totally that.
I love it.
It's totally that.
Because gay and I just think it's nice to just have a little bit of witchcraft in the daily life.
I mean,
it's
at really least with gay dancers, I guess we'd call them, rather than strippers, you know, if they're...
It's a bit of fun to watch. And
if they're going to get any money thrown at them, they've got to be well and truly well hung and hard.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. You are with... Queenie Bonbon, our guest. Power Up is her show. Dean Beck and Andrew, The Apprentice, with you on Joy.
You are on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Myself, Andrew, The Apprentice, and Dean Beck are with you this evening. And Queenie Bonbon's joining us in the studio.
We are exploring Queenie Bonbon, quite frankly.
We are.
Nice.
Now, I'm getting a feeling, Queenie, that by the look of the imagery that goes alongside your marketing material, you're not just your everyday sex worker in a brothel. You've got your own little edge.
Well, I mean, I really am, actually, your everyday
worker. So if I want to root and I've... happy to pay,
yeah,
I can get that,
yeah,
but that's not what your imagery says.
My imagery says you can get a root and put your
beer on your
beer
bum,
on my bum,
because we should explain in the photo. You are on all fours acting as a coffee table.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, which is just like I'm a pleasure provider, but also I'm, like, ergonomical.
Useful around the house.
You're very walking, stable table. Now, you're not just a pleasure provider, but a fantasy maker. Now, I love that. That suggests that you will provide fantasies. I mean, and that could mean going anywhere, really.
That could really, yeah. And, okay. I mean, when it says fantasy, it's not necessarily their fantasy. You know, it's just just a weaver of fantasies. Sometimes
okay.
it's...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just wild fantasy everywhere.
Now, you had huge success and great reviews when you were last touring this in Melbourne, but you've done Sydney and Adelaide and then overseas, London, San Francisco and New York.
Yeah.
This little journal... cut and paste has turned out all right.
It's done pretty okay.
Right.
And it was so nice. So the new, I toured the last show, which is called Deeply Leisured.
Deeply Leisured.
Yep.
Right.
And then when I was away, I wrote lots of the new show. So there were lots of things about traveling and being a worker and setting up brothels and Airbnbs, which people some own. I found out that people who rent your apartments have some strong feelings about things like that, and
some of them encourage it too.
Oh yeah, well I didn't have that. I had
the opposite. Yes,
I had the opposite. And yeah, it was really interesting. Like the first show, I think was maybe a little bit more of the narrative of like a happy hooker. It was like quite a curated. Like stories from like the 5 years previous, and then this show was very much just like six months of my life that was a lot about being on tour constantly, and also just things like the reality of like working when you have mental health problems or like drugs or like just like relationships, and just I think really like it's like, you know, taking apart these things, which I think often when, like, sex workers, when they have anything about drugs or mental health, it's just like, it's somehow seen as a, that's very deeply connected to the profession, as opposed to actually they're very universal things that, like, people in my age group, people in our society deal with. And just like really unpacking those things and looking at like the stigma that we hold to those, and just like a lot, yes, like yes, unpacking a lot of those things. So
what you're saying is lawyers, doctors and policemen can also be fucked in the head.
Yeah, turns out they really can. Yeah.
Yeah. So can radio presenters. Now, you've found yourself kind of with an instant audience wherever you've gone, haven't you?
Yeah, there is a glorious co-host everywhere. And
who would have thought sex workers were so connected to cultural art?
But the other thing is,
I know, it's like we don't just live in the brothel, it's like we're real people.
Do you actually eat as well?
I know, well, you know, I guess after every single show I've ever done, someone has come up to me and been like, I've never met one of you before. And I'm like, we're everywhere. Like, we walk among you.
I've met a few of you.
You've no idea. Like, we're all over the place. And they're like, really? Like, doing this? And like, I know, it's amazing.
Probably
like,
next door.
Yeah.
So is it a case of your audience being members of the sex worker community wanting to come and hear someone talking about experiences that they would have familiarity with?
Mm.
Or is it people without any exposure to the sex worker community coming along and finding out something new?
I mean, it's a real mixture, and there's a real actual chat. Like, I really notice at the jokes that people laugh at when when it's like, you can really tell,
you know,
like,
all of sex
who, yeah. Right. Like in my first show, there was a story about like being on a date with someone and them sort of like slut shaming me. And then in my head, thinking about, like, I probably shouldn't mention that time I gave 22 blowjobs in a row. And like, the audience, is when it's like, hoes, are like, yeah! 22! And then it was just like, just, you know.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Then, like, other audiences.
Nothing.
Like, oh.
They're like, did she say?
Now, I don't profess to know heaps about that side of the sex industry, but what I do know is that when you're traveling, every new town's a new opportunity.
It really is.
And I'm told traveling pays off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. International travel's good too.
It's a delight. Yeah. I'm very into it. I'm from the UK, and so I love going back and working there. It's so interesting to be able to go and just like work in different ways. And like, I was so lucky in Australia that I mean, in New South Wales, where sex work's decriminalised, it's so different to,
I was, you know, gonna say, going to different places, you have to become pretty familiar with the different laws in different places.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there is definitely a real thing that I can work as an indoor worker, and I definitely am granted like a lot of privilege that a lot of workers don't have in their fluidity. And it's really, you know, it's very prevalent about how fluidly I can move through and work through, so in like different ways and in different places compared to other workers, and just like actually how regressive and how like repressed the laws really are for such a huge amount of the community. And like, you know, it's such a real thing that you know, everyone is really burnt by places like not having decriminalization, but you know, it's very much those like closest to the fire being burnt first, and just like having to like constantly, you know, we're really trying to be aware that like I'm so lucky on the scale of things, and how much of my community are not granted those same privileges.
And traveling around working in your profession, you'd also have a ready-made community, I guess, in most locations to draw upon if you needed to.
Absolutely.
So is there camaraderie in that realm, or do you get told to get out of our turf, love?
I mean, there probably could be, but I mean, It's a very, especially, you know, there's a very, it's a very active, it's a very activist community. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's, people are very open to, you know.
I was on Twitter one day and I just happened to see the sex worker men's organisation in New South Wales send a tweet, and it was something about resources. And so I opened it up, and took me down a path where I rang them up and said, I do a sex show in Melbourne. Would you mind sending me some of your information?
Mm-hmm.
I got this, you saw it, a pack of the most amazing resources. There's none of that here in Melbourne.
No.
That's what decriminalisation and proper regulation can deliver.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy. We are speaking with Queenie Bunbun, Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice, with you back shortly.
Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Beck with you this evening on Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And, of course, Midsummer is on, and there's lots of fantastic things about, and Queenie Bunbun is one of those things.
Because the word is out, Andrew.
The word is out.
Word is out. At the hole.
Yes, that's right.
The big hairy hole.
Yes.
I love a big hairy hole.
And hello to the boys at Tears and Hyenas. And Queenie Bunbun is going to start her stuff. Well, at least tell a few tales. Do we get a pole dance or something?
No. How would they?
No, I couldn't do that.
No, unfortunately.
Could slide down the banister.
I mean, I definitely... Hey, it's the last time I'm doing the show in Melbourne. I'll bloody slide down that banister.
So is it a case where you get up on stage and, you know, sit in a big comfy chair and just talk?
Just have a chat.
You're like Stephen Fry.
I've got a beautiful set. I've got a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I
oh,
know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's I'm so like multimedia.
Taking on TED. Yeah, I've got a PowerPoint where I can just have lots of really great aids to assist you telling. So I've got about how I want to open up a detective agency.
Maybe it was on your thing that I saw something about sex worker detective agency. Yeah, it was on
What's
your
What's that
thing.
About?
Yeah, I love
she
the
hosts,
idea.
She knows.
And if you want to get your husband caught doing something wrong.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, I thought I wanted to make this like, it's a mystery show with a happy ending. No red herrings, no blue balls. Get past me.
Hey, have you seen the new Marvel series?
Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones?
No. Should I?
Well, she's not a hooker. But no, it's a sex worker. Yeah. I'm not allowed to say that, Andrew.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's gutsy.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Yes. I'd give it a watch.
Detective. Female.
Female detective.
Yeah, that's where we were going with that. right. Are you writing your next show?
Yeah. I think it's actually going to be... a detective show. I actually have a few ideas.
And one, apparently.
Yeah. I really want to do a detective show. I really want to do a detective show about why Lena Dunham hates prostitutes. Because when the Amnesty...
Can you do one on Jermaine Greer and trans women too while you're at it? Do us all a favour.
Yeah.
Get it all done.
Get it all done. Put Sheila Jeffries in there.
Yeah, throw her in head first.
So for you, is it a case of if you were going to be writing a show, it sounds like you've sort of shifted over time, even though you've done two shows.
Yeah.
Your first show you sort of described as being, you know, fairly straight out of the book.
Yeah.
A little bit testing the waters.
Yeah.
This second show also a bit out of the book, but a bit more...
It's a bit more.
Adventurous.
A bit more adventurous.
Yeah. And now I'm really...
So is it that you've been... nurturing this creative bent, I guess, as you've been going along the process?
Yeah, people have been like, it's like people have been watering me, being like, it's okay. And I'm like, great, I'm going to do a detective show. And I was like, and I want to do a cooking show called The Village Tart. And,
oh, I love that. That's fantastic.
I
want to
open up a 1-800 Stop Slut Shame hotline. People are like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, great.
Brings a whole new meaning to custard with The Village
Tart. Oh, yeah.
But they say write what you know about.
Mm.
What do you know about detective agencies?
Well, I just think hookers get told a lot of secrets, okay. Which is great for solving mysteries.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, and I really like being right, which is not necessarily connected to sex work, but it's just an extra thing that I've been given. I love weird situations. My favourite thing to do at the moment is rent out an Airbnb and try and find proof that the owner's also a sex worker, which means going through every single drawer and cataloguing their eyes for proof.
What's that,
that
about?
Just some early detective work that I'm just really trying to hone my skills.
Listener, there will be a photo on our website of what Greedy Bon Bon looks like in case you are renting out your spare room to Airbnb. I love it. What drives you? Is it because clearly you're not making money from this stage?
I am not making money from this.
You've got another profession, another day job that you can do.
Yeah, luckily I have another profession.
Yeah.
And hopefully soon I'll be a detective as well.
I think you need to at least do a TAFE course or something.
Really?
Maybe.
I don't know.
So, what does drive you to do this? To get up on stage and...
I think I really hate other people trying to tell my story, or I just hate like the representations of sex workers, and that you get fed these images of either like people do sex work because like they're like high-end escorts and they get thousands of dollars a day, or the other side of it is like the narratives that we get sold is like people who hated sex work and it was like the last resort, and like they want like sex work to be taken down, and it's just like both those narratives really just take away from how much of it's a job. And just like the reality, like there's so much I feel like about my job that I'm never allowed to say, like, oh, I had a shit day at work, because then it's like, well, if you don't like your job, you shouldn't be a prostitute.
Is it the difference between mental acrobatics and physical acrobatics, you know, in your work and your play type of thing, your theatre and your work?
It's all pretty mental. It's all pretty theatrical.
/ physical.
Yeah, it's all like physical theatre, actually.
You clearly love it, though.
I do.
And your sex positivism is infectious. Beautifully so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so nice.
I'm loving it.
Fantastic.
Will you come to the show?
Well, if I'm bloody invited.
Yeah.
When is it?
It is on Saturday.
Oh, we better...
Have you got a function?
I've got 6 things on Saturday. It's midsummer, do you know?
I know.
It's only 3 things on Friday. Yeah, I'm hosting... I may as well give it a plug. I'm hosting Schools Out for midsummer for teachers, parents and LGBTI students. Nice. Discussing the future of the education system with the Australian Education Union. It's a premier event for the midsummer calendar.
Oh, sounds lovely.
It's not quite what Queenie Bon Bon will be doing on stage at the Hair Hole for Power Up this coming Saturday, 9 p.m. at the Hair Hole. Head to midsummer.org.au for more information, or word is out, Hair Hole has an A and as they've all got it.
Also, maybe you need to buy a ticket because I think it might be quite close to selling out.
Get in quick. And then, you know, it's an hour and a half show. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Oh, it's so long. It's actually not an hour and a half. But once I did the show in Sydney and I'd been really sick and I'd taken lots of like really speedy cold and flu, and then I was really like going for it. And then so a little bit before I took a Valium to like bring it down a bit. And then I was worried it was too down. So I took a Dexy and had a glass of wine, and the show was so long. And I was just like testing out all these jokes that just like didn't even have endings. And the person who produced the show was just like, no, stop, really. And they were just like, kept on like, and I was like, I wonder why he keeps banging his wrist.
Joy 94.9 does not endorse alcohol or drug use, but Queenie Bon Bon had a bit of a night that night. You sound like a lot of fun.
So much fun.
Break a leg for Saturday night at 9 p.m. at Hares and Hyenas. Go to midsummer.org.au for all the details.
Queenie Bon Bon, thank you for joining us on Joy.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was so fun.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
It's all right, Dean. I think Tim wants to do some new ideas.
Fine. Welcome to it. No, bugger it. He can do it himself. No, fine. Go for it.
That's all for tonight here on Hide and Seek. Now, Dean, both of us on Friday night are going to watch a lot of men in not many much clothing.
Who's your date?
My partner, unfortunately. No, I shouldn't say
I'm going as the commissioner's partner. not quite as romantic. But
We'll both be along to the National Water Polo Pride Cup match.
Do I have to wear special robes or something?
No, I don't think you. Dolly Diamond singing, so you know, whatever you wear won't
if
stand
Robert
up
Doyle's
to
what. There, I'll be. Anyway.
So it is, of course, Australia's Pride Cup between the Sydney Stingers and the Melbourne Surge, followed by the league game with the Victorian Seals, part of Midsummer. So make sure you get along to that one if you can.
Very much looking forward to it.
Coming up next is JB with Strip Down. A big thank you to David, our podcaster, all our podcaster at joy.org.au.
And thank you, David, for putting up with my little tantrum this week. Not tangent, just need to change everything, really. So thank you very much for doing that. Actually, I didn't send it to anyone. Anyway, you'll notice that things are different. Andrew, that's been a great show with Quinny Bonbon.
It has been.
Check her out at the Big Hole.
Tim and I are back next week.
Oh, right.
Yes. Okay. Until then.
You keep well. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.